This is National Native News. I'm Megan Kamrick in for Antonia Gonzalez. More states and municipalities around the country celebrated Indigenous Peoples Day on Monday for the first time, replacing the holiday named for Christopher Columbus. In Albuquerque, New Mexico, officials with the state's 23 tribes attended dances at the Indian Pueblo Cultural Center, according to the Albuquerque Journal. Democratic State Representative Derek Lente, a member of Sandia and Isleta Pueblos, was there. Lente co-sponsored the legislation this year creating Indigenous Peoples Day.
It's in their memory and their honor that we celebrate today, the people today that are here today, as well as the people that are coming in the future, to ensure that they know that in New Mexico, not only are they recognized, but they're respected. And they respect the fact that there's been centuries of attempts to extinguish the people that we are today, the Indigenous peoples that we are in the world. And through those repeated attempts, our resiliency continues to shine.
Celebrations also took place at Valle de Oro National Wildlife Refuge in Albuquerque and on the plaza in downtown Santa Fe. CBS News reports New Mexico Congresswoman Deb Haaland is co-sponsoring federal legislation to make the second Monday of October Indigenous Peoples Day nationwide. A total of 12 states and the District of Columbia now celebrate the holiday, as well as numerous cities. CBS reports San Francisco marked the day by commemorating the 50th anniversary of the Native American occupation of Alcatraz Island. The Sacramento Bee reports California Governor Gavin Newsom announced on Monday the state would honor Indigenous Peoples Day, although his proclamation only applied to October 14, 2019. Seattle held a march and rally, a community dinner, and a story slam. In New York City, hundreds gathered on Randall's Island on Sunday and Monday, even though the state has not established Indigenous Peoples Day. The New York Times reports Mayor Bill de Blasio and Governor Andrew Cuomo marched in the Columbus Day Parade in Manhattan and did not attend the Native American event. Tribal leaders from across Southeast Alaska, British Columbia, and Washington State are sounding the alarm over threats posed to wild salmon across state and national borders.
We felt that the plight of the salmon is at an emergency state at this time.
Tiss Peterman heads the Southeast Alaska Indigenous Transboundary Commission, or SEITC, which released a joint statement last Thursday from a summit of Pacific tribes stretching from Yakutat, Alaska to Bellingham, Washington.
It's just death by a thousand cuts. There's so many things affecting our salmon, and this has been the focus of SEITC's work for 5 years now.
The statement pointed to resource extraction industries, namely Canadian mines on transboundary watersheds that they say threaten fisheries that serve as primary food sources and the livelihoods of Indigenous peoples. In Alaska, the agency responsible for managing in-state fisheries is the Department of Game and Fish.
I don't think we've hit an emergency yet.
Ben Mulligan is a deputy commissioner. He says there are Chinook runs that are stocks of concern on three rivers, but he says that doesn't apply more widely.
We haven't had an indication that we're reaching that point where we would say overall in the whole of Southeast that those are stocks of concern, because they are maybe not consistently, but overall they are meeting their escapement goals.
But Peterman says at the tribal summit, the consensus was governments in both countries aren't doing enough to protect wild salmon. She says Canada's First Nations, Alaska, and Lummi tribes pledge to work more closely in the future.
Our message is we're going to keep on working on this issue to try and come up with some solutions based on traditional ecological knowledge.
The three-day summit was hosted by the Lummi Nation near Ferndale, Washington. For National Native News, I'm Megan Kamrick in for Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced by Kawanak Broadcast Corporation with funding by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.
Support for law and justice-related programming provided by Hobbs, Strauss, Dean & Walker, LLP, a national law firm dedicated to promoting and defending tribal rights for more than 30 years. More information available at HobbsStrauss.com. Support by PrairieEdge.com, where you can find a full selection of Pendleton products, traditional ledger art, beadwork, and quillwork, as well as a complete line of Native books, music, and movies in Rapid City or online at PrairieEdge.com. Wopila.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.